Want to become a better PC technician? Check out some videos that will help you do that at podnuts.com/bettertech. That's podnuts.com/bettertech. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 299. We are almost at a milestone. What milestone 300 equals, I don't really know, but it's just a big, pretty big number, podcast-wise, I think. There'll be no pod fade happening here, I'll tell you that. All right, well, thanks for joining us. This is the show about computer repair, where we bring a computer repair technician on the show each week, and he imparts tips and tricks, secrets, business advice, all kinds of stuff that's helping him with his repairs and his business. And today is no different. We have an awesome guest on the show. You might know him from the Podnuts community. Seen him here and there. He's in chats. He's in lounges. You're on TeamSpeak, right, Josh? I don't know.
Yeah, not as much as I was.
Well, let me introduce him. We have Josh Williams, Knucklehead Tech. You might know him as Knuckle or Knucklehead Tech in the around Podnuts. Hey, man, what's going on with you?
Not much. Just finishing up a long day and a little bit brain dead, ready to talk to you and go over a few things, I guess.
I appreciate you being brain dead before you talk to me.
Yeah, works out well.
I know. I actually told Josh, that's okay. I start half my shows brain dead. It just takes a couple little sparks to get the brain going, though. So hopefully we can spark Josh's brain.
good luck.
What do you want to go over today?
I got a little list of random notes I thought about, so I jotted them all down here. I don't want to just jump right into that, or
let's go with the notes. Right. I mean, unless you have anything you want to do, like introduce yourself, what your business is about, what you do.
Right now the business is me working, doing IT for our company. I was doing computer repair and I had a site up and all that, but I was way too busy and I had to take it down. So I'm basically going to restart all that. It's going to be at williamsitservices.com. And I've got the domain, but there's nothing up there yet. So you can go see my great web art right now. But when that gets up and done, I'm going to have all my pricing on there. But for now, it's just me doing my full-time IT job.
I see. At the Dream Host page?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. I got a friend that's a Dream Host fanatic and talked me into it. And
really?
I've been with him ever since, yeah.
I've heard mixed things about him, but, you know, like with any web host, I'm sure there's nightmare stories either way. How long have you been with them?
I think 2 years.
Okay, cool.
Pretty sure. Something like that.
Awesome.
But, okay, I'll start with the notes here. I was just going to talk about this one virus cleaning I did. This lady was actually a neighbor, kind of a family friend. I did some work for her a while back. She's a doctor, and the work I did a while back, she's getting ready to roll out this all scripts program, and it's pretty intensive, and they have to give them all kinds of money. So I was going through and checking on her computers, make sure they met requirements, but it didn't really work out as far as doing much for her then, because I was way too busy, so I really didn't get back with her much, and then she called me up. Oh, a couple of weeks ago, about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night, when I just got home from work here, kind of in a panic because her computer got in a virus. She was set up with a server there and had Active Directory set up so they can do, you know, manage users and all that. But
right,
I think it's Quest that they have there.
Okay,
went through and recommended they pull that server because she's having problems with it, and they just did a share folder setup, which. And that's not that bad a deal, but in my mind, you got a doctor's office, you got patients' prescriptions, you got all kinds of sensitive data. Opening up your phone, they had her firewall just open and just wide open. There was no real security on it other than her router.
So you mean it was peer-to-peer set up after you pulled the router?
Basically. Yeah, I mean, just inside of her network, I mean, they had, yeah, you could just simply go to the C drive and just start searching through things and... Their password was basically the initials of the doctor's office and then the year. Okay. Not hard to figure out.
Right. You know, before you go on, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on Podnuts about replacing a server with a nice solid NAS. I think Chris mentioned, Chris Berry mentioned Synology. and peer-to-peer and use Google Google apps for their emails, or he actually used as an online exchange server for their emails. So that if you have a nice solid NAS, you think that would do the trick?
It might for her. Okay. She needs something outside of just sharing her own computer. But as actually I was going to talk to her about doing a NAS, she gave me her server, because I'm going to go over that.
Okay.
And see how updated it is, but it's pretty old. But I think the NAS would be good for her.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to actually get her set up on the Google Apps, because she's running through Heritage something or other. It's a web hosting, and they pretty much suck. They don't have any real administration over their email, so I'm going to try and push her towards that. I rolled out Google Apps here for... I think the Google Apps is great. I'm still digging into it. There's a whole lot to learn. You get into the Postini, handles a lot of the security, and there's way more to that than I thought there was. And the Google Apps for Business, it's really handy. I think it's like $50 per user per year.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
Have you been setting that up for people?
I did. I've got 18 users rolled out right now. Probably going to have over 20 before the end of the summer. But it's kind of small operation, but I think it works great. A lot better than Exchange.
Yeah, we have some Exchange fanatics, especially who's going to be on the show after this one.
I'm sorry.
They would probably have strongly object in their own. No, you know, I think Matt Rainey actually said that Google Apps is all right. I can't remember. But I like it. I like it. I'm a fan.
I like it.
So what happened with this dentist office before I interrupted you?
Okay. One thing, I'm not sure if I've heard anybody talk about it or not, but whenever you got the malware bites or an infection, I always try and keep a copy. Like on my laptop I pack around with me. I try to always keep the database updated. So you can just go into the rules. You got to go into the malware bytes folder, and then you copy out the rules.ref file.
Okay.
And throw that on a thumb drive. And I've got a collection of like 256, 512 thumb drives just for stuff like this. They've got nothing but like registry keys or installers, drivers. That way I can wipe them out. That's not a big deal. But I keep that rules.ref on there. On her computer, I got there, and it was, you know, your usual Security Center antivirus 2009 deal. But I just went into there, booted into safe mode. The first thing I almost always do is open Process Explorer if I can.
Okay.
And auto runs. I don't care what I'm doing at work, anywhere I'm at, auto runs always gets run. Go through there, disable as much as you possibly can. That's one of my most favorite tools. I love auto runs.
Really?
Yeah. I've taken the computer and somebody says it's too old. It's broken. It doesn't work. Run CCleaner, auto runs, open Revo, uninstall everything you possibly can. I don't do the intense with Revo where you go real deep in the registry anymore, just because you can cause some serious problems, but just right. Medium.
Right.
And that alone, CCleaner, auto runs, and Revo, it can take an old computer and you give it back to them. Oh, this is, what did you do? Did you add RAM? No, I just did a couple programs, and, you know, it doesn't take you hardly any time at all, and it makes a big difference.
You mean even before you run like a antivirus or anti-malware?
Yeah. Yeah. Like on hers, I auto runs. And I disabled her antivirus. I do that sometimes because when you go back into the normal operating system, the antivirus will kick in. And I don't honestly know exactly what it does, but sometimes you have it. You can find the antivirus and the auto runs or the virus and disable it from starting. But you'll turn on the computer, go back into it to do some other stuff, and the antivirus will come on and it opens up that virus again. So I always disabled that. Whatever AVGs was on this one, I disabled that from startup. So none of that started. At spyware, Super NAS spyware was on there. I disabled that. I disabled everything that had anything to do with any spyware, malware, so that it would not take a chance back to activating the virus again. One sec.
No problem. Do me a favor, too, and center yourself in your camera if you can.
Let's see.
Perfect. Okay,
cool. All right.
Sweet.
So yeah, I did that. And let's see, let me go through my notes here real quick. Process Explorer. Mention the malwarevice-rules.ref. That's a big one. You can do an offline update just in seconds just by copying that rules.ref file in your Malwarebytes. And there's a link in there, and you can add it to the show notes, and that'll tell people where to find it for Windows 7 or XP.
Cool.
Another one is Super Anti-Spyware Online Scan. We always talk about Super Anti-Spyware, but I actually haven't installed that since they did the online scan. I'll run the Malwarebytes and the online scan at the same time, and that seems to do quite a good job.
At the same time, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How is the online scan?
It's great. It's fantastic. It does just as good of a job, in my opinion, as pulling stuff out. But at the same time, you don't have to install anything. You just have the little executable. It runs in your temp. And I think it works great. I think it works better than anything else.
So it doesn't run from a browser or anything. It's kind of a misnomer, right? An online scan, right. You think, but it is an executable. It just doesn't install itself.
Yep, exactly.
I got you.
Yeah, when you run it, it looks just like Super Nintendo Spyware is running. I mean, you can't really tell much of a difference. And if you look at the update, there's always zeros across the board because doing the online scan is supposed to be the most up-to-date version.
Right.
But just because I have to be able to see no zeros, I always do update.
Yeah, it's probably smart.
And in the notes there, I typed one thing I have found in the past is that trying to go in any kind of a search, we know that the search always gets hijacked in your browser whenever it's infected. And if you try to go to superantispyware.com, it's hijacked.
Right.
But if you go to the superantispyware.com/onlinescan.html, that's the URL for the online scan. I've not had that blocked once.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what the difference is.
I guess it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, probably.
That's interesting. That's a great tip, though.
Yeah, but if you don't do the .html at the end of it, you won't get it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's some little simple tip I've always found working on them.
I'm checking that out now, that link.
This is a weird one. I finally went through and I got it all basically cleaned up. I killed her ABG. I know some guys like ABG out there, but I haven't liked ABG for a couple of years. I can't stand it.
Me neither. Since 8 came out, I abandoned it.
Exactly. Yep. So I removed that, and I actually didn't put any antivirus in there for about an hour, just trying to get everything cleaned up. The weird thing was Internet Explorer, that's all she had on there at the time, it wouldn't pick up an internet connection. Internet was plugged in, I was getting traffic, I could ping, everything was great. And so I thought, I did the usual reset of Internet Explorer, nothing, didn't do anything different. Grabbed Firefox installer off my computer, threw it on hers. Exact same thing. No browser would work. What I did find after doing a little quick searching is the proxy settings. And I think I got it. Yeah, you just got to go to Internet Explorer, you go to Internet Options, Connections, and then LAN Settings. And I can't remember what hers is set to, but basically to the fact that it was going through a certain proxy. And I'm assuming that's just what the virus settings had done to her browser. But the weird thing was installing Firefox, it did the same thing, which I didn't fully understand.
I think, LAN settings applies to everything on the computer, doesn't it? Not just for a certain browser.
Yep. That's right.
Okay.
So I went and I just changed those. I think I took it off. It was redirecting her to a certain proxy.
Yeah.
And that's what Dora just said. Same thing. It does follow that. But, I put it back to automatic, so I automatically picked it up. And then Firefox did the same thing with the proxy settings, put it on auto. Internet Explorer was working great, but then Firefox was working in German.
What?
I don't know. I had an English installer. I used that same installer on a computer at work, so it was English. I don't know what happened on that one. But so I got the proxy set up, and let's see. Oh, and then once I fixed all that, got the English working on it again, she's a doctor and she's a Facebook addict, and nobody does enters in an address in the address bar. They all do searches. I mean, you could say, go to podnuts.com, and they'll enter podnuts.com into the search.
Right.
It drives me out of my friggin' mind. So what I did with her, and I'm going to try making this more of a habit, is on her homepage, I set that to the Google HTTPS. So whenever she opens up her browser, first thing she's going to see is that secure search, basically. And her search will be, you know, encrypted, but when she gets out of there, it won't be. I figure it's just, you know, maybe one step that might keep her protected for a minute.
Yeah, it's like an extra layer of protection.
Right. So I did that. And I also made her default little, you know, with your Internet Explorer and Firefox, your search bar, I made sure that default was to the HTTPS Google right. on there also. And one thing we talked about them a long time ago is the Datamikes website.
Yes.
And if you guys have forgotten about that, if you guys don't go there, you got to go to that. And the link will be in the show notes. That is the best. I mean, there's a couple of really good ones, but Datamike, he keeps it up to date. He keeps changing it. It's awesome. I love that site. Anytime I have any problems, I just open that up on my computer, which is the clean one. And I can grab installers from there. I can grab whatever I need from there. He has it broken down pretty good into categories. And go ahead.
No, the site, if anybody wants, I put it in the chat, but it's datamike.net. It's PC admin service, common links and utilities. These are technical PC related links I've collected from shows like Mind of Root, Podnuts, Mike Tech Show, Tech Bets, Technibble, as well as others. And it's just this immense page of all this awesome stuff.
It's good stuff. Great.
Yeah. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if you get bored, you can also just click around in his site. He's got a lot of geeky stuff, video tutorials. Every once in a while, I throw a little something extra in there, and you'll find a tool that you've never used before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these are great.
So, yeah, he does a really good job with that. Let's see. Check the notes here.
Datamike also does the show notes for Podnuts Daily, guys, and Android App Addicts, so we got to give him props for that as well.
Yeah, Datamike, he's the man. He does a great job.
Definitely.
He needs to pimp his own site a lot more.
I know.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm forgetting anything about that one. The main thing I wanted to hit on that is on doing any virus cleanup is do your auto runs. I mean, it's a rare thing when you cannot find the virus program itself listed in there somewhere. And it's not always where you'd expect it.
Auto runs is basically like a beefed up MS config, right? Like on steroids.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. So what do you do when you go to auto runs? What do you turn off?
I'll turn off everything. Well, when you go through there, first thing I always look at is the publisher of whatever the software is.
Yeah.
And every once in a great while, you'll find one that it says Microsoft, but it's not. It's pretty rare. AutoRuns is pretty good about identifying the real publisher. And if they don't know what it is, it's just blank. Anything Microsoft, I usually leave alone initially.
Right.
Like here at work, I'll go back and I'll disable all, anything to do with live email, live this, live that. I disable all that crap. The Google Updater.
It is crap.
It's not that big a deal. Yeah, it is crap. But the Google Updater, I noticed with some of the older computers, you have a little less RAM or your internet connection slow. I'll disable that. Bonjour. I'll disable Bonjour because if you don't need it, you don't really need that. Opening up any more network settings than you want.
I know, but just Bonjour, you got to be careful. I mean, sometimes Bonjour will just take control of your printers or something. I remember my dad turned it off. He could not, and for a month, he couldn't figure out why this certain thing was not working. And it was, he doesn't even had, I don't think he even had an Apple device hooked up, but it was,
true.
It was Bonjour messing things up. So I don't know about that program.
See, well, at work, I always disable it at work because, you know, we manage our own, you know, we have our server, print servers and all that. And then for people's PCs, I am kind of more careful about the Bonjour with that one.
Yeah.
But basically in the auto runs, just throw it on your own computer. Just grab the whole sys internal suite. I mean, there are more programs than you're ever going to use. Like one, for example, I think it's PS Tools. You can find a real quick and easy command to run on that. And you'd run PS, you got a CD to the directory. type in PS tools and then the certain options on there, and you can find a remote computer on your network. It could be yours at home or at work, and you can see anybody who's logged on to that computer. It's just that sysinternal suite. It's fantastic. And Mark Rasinovich, anything he talks about or does, you should definitely think about reading, listening to. That guy's pretty dang smart.
I still have yet to watch his little video on the long video, actually, on malware and stuff like that. But I've heard about it. Is he like the developer of these sysinternals tools?
Yeah. Yeah, he started all, as far as my understanding goes, he started all of it, and then Microsoft basically bought him out, hired him, and now he's the man when it comes to that. Any interview he does, you listen to it, and it gets pretty dry because he's a smart guy. He talks very technical, way over most everybody's head, but if you catch some of it, he'll say a few things, and you're, oh, okay, I understand.
Really? No yeah. Kidding. Yeah, I keep hearing good things about it. I'm surprised sysinternals is still, has its integrity and not been kind of just, like, butchered by Microsoft.
Absolutely. I thought it was going to turn into crap years ago.
Yeah.
Really did. But, no, they've done a good job keeping that intact.
Good.
And, honestly, they update it way more than you'd expect. So, if you've got a copy of the sysinternal suite on your computer and it's a month old, go grab a new one because it's probably updated.
Okay. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what everybody's using for free antivirus. I was using the Microsoft Security Essentials. I went back to Avira. I know some guys hate it, but I still like it.
You hate? They hate Avira or Security Essentials?
I've heard both.
Yeah.
I mean, I know with myself, I've done a lot of, you know, like with that lady's computer. Before I actually kill the virus, I'll go through and I'll grab the executables off of there, the registry keys, and I'll just save them. And every once in a while, I'll throw them into a virtual machine or try and throw it against Linux and see what happens just for the fun of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, everybody has their camp. You know, you got AVG, Avira, Avast, all the A's, all the free A viruses. And, maybe that's why they started them, their first letter with A, so they'd come up on top of lists and stuff. That's probably why there's so many free A virus and A letter virus. But yeah, there's, you know, there's people who love all three of them and Security Essentials. So I guess it's a matter of preference. I don't know. Have you seen any tests or anything like that show which one is better or finding more stuff lately? Or
well, I have seen in the past where I haven't read about it as much this past year, but Avira, the engine that they use for Avira used to rate real high. The program itself, they basically, I don't know if you want to call it spamming, but they always give you those pop-ups.
Really?
And all you got to do is, yeah, close them out because they're trying to make money off
sure.
it, but
yeah.
You know, you can't blame them. But I know I've used AVG, Avast, anyone I can get my hands on in virtual machines, and Avira quite often caught more just in my toying around than any of the others.
No kidding.
So that's just what I found. I mean, maybe it's the way I had it set up. I don't know, but it did a good job.
Good. That's good to know.
I had this other one, and this one was at first very simple. We had to roll out, but when I had to build this network here, it started out just kind of a simple job. Okay, we're going to take these computers and change them over to this new domain. But then it turned out to wipe everything, reinstall. All right, not a big deal. But I had this one computer that the guy says he would open Word, he would open anything, and it was just slow. I thought maybe his RAM is ate up, but he has, I think, 3 gigs of RAM in there. And it was bad. He had didn't even have his Outlook open. He would have Word, maybe a web browser with not hardly any tabs like I would have open. And it was taking 5 to 10 minutes just to open a Word document. And I would try to log off and log in as me as a domain admin, and you couldn't. It would lock up. So I found we use ESET, NOT32, for our corporate antivirus. And there was, or there still is most likely, whenever you're running and checking the CPU usage, it's ekrn.exe. Mm-hmm. You'll see it in your processes. It'll just start chewing away on resources. It'll run. I mean, I can pull it up on mine right now. See what it has. It's, let's just check memory first. Well, it's actually run. It's running about 61 megs of memory right now, which is pretty average all the time that it runs out. And then when it starts doing any kind of a background scan, and this isn't with all Windows, it's only with certain ones, and I don't know why, it'll jump up to 100 and some megs. CPU usage will be 80 to 90%.
On ESET?
Yeah. There's no explanation for it that I've found this good, too, because we've got, I don't know how many computers here, across our whole corporate network, there's hundreds of them. And it's only a random few of them that it happens on. Well, this guy, it was happening on him, and I just simply disabled the scan of startup.
Yeah.
It took care of it. Not a problem. Well, rolled out this new domain, and he says, well, I'm having the problem again. Well, the thing of it was, I took him from XP, and I put him on 7. It just didn't make any sense. I should have not had a problem anymore. So I said, all right, I'll go through and disable that auto startup. It didn't do anything. For maybe a day, it worked better. I think it was a fluke. Then a week later, they always take a week or two to tell you what's going on. But a week later, he comes back and says, man, it's still happening again. You know, I just can't take it no more. And it's no problem. We'll fix it.
How does he know? How did he know it was happening?
Well, just because it was going so slow.
Oh.
He'd open a Word document, and these guys are—they're doing a lot of them are doing like environmental work, and they're these guys are document freaks, and we've got our own little mini library in there that they've developed. But I can't remember the service control manager—that's what it was coming up as in the source in the event viewer. And then let's see. Basically, it wouldn't get updates. It would say there's an update. You know, the old thing where it says there's an update. You install the update. It goes away. Comes back. Says there's an update. Install the update. Goes away. But it's the same update every time.
Yeah.
And this... Let's see. There's another one. I want to see another part of it here. I got all the notes. Service control manager is a source. That's actually the... Oh, crap. No, I can't find it. I should have highlighted it. Oh, Windows Module Installer. That's what it comes up as the data name in the event data of your event viewer. And that made more sense since I found that part of it. But I went through and I did some searching on there. And I think it was at a TechNet forum I finally found this one. And now you always say, remember you used to always talk about the SFC Wax Scan Now?
Yes.
I've ran that on all kinds of computers. I've had it work on one. It was probably a year and a half ago, I think. That's the only other one that's ever worked on. And this one, in these notes I have here, they gave you the registry key to change. I changed that.
Who gave it to you?
Out of this forum. Okay. Forum posting that I found. So I changed the registry key, rebooted, like I said, and then... The key is you obviously got to run as administrator, the SFC /scan now. And depending on the computer, the one I had before that worked good, I think it ran for, I want to say it was well over an hour, maybe over 2 hours. And it finally did something. This one ran for like 15 minutes. So I'm thinking it didn't do a damn thing. But it actually fixed it. It did. So changing that registry key and then doing the system file checker, it took care of it. I don't know exactly what it did. I honestly don't have a good answer for you, but that's what took care of it. It was in the HK machine system current. The registry key was the HK local machine system current control set control, and then you got to change the registry size limit. So he wants to go get a drink here.
Yeah, no problem. So the forum you got it is TechNet or social.technet.microsoft.com/forums. It's under the thread Windows Modules Installer Error 1450 Insufficient System Resources. So following what we find there, you're able to fix the ESET problem where it hogs up memory and maxes out the machine.
Actually, this one. I mean, I should have clarified in the beginning. This one wasn't related to I did the ESET fix first.
Okay.
And then he came back a week later and says, it's still doing it.
Okay. So it wasn't ESET causing it then, this time?
Not this time, no.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what was so weird. I mean, I didn't understand why, and I still don't, why doing a reinstall, go from XP to 7, had the exact same thing happen, but the same fix didn't work.
That's really weird.
It is weird. I still don't get it, but it's fixed now.
Okay. Glad you found that, man. I remember the days of searching for solutions like this. You find a forum somewhere, somebody has it posted. That was before the Podnuts forums. I bet people are using the Podnuts forums now for the same thing. Cool stuff.
I've been kind of a slacker. I've been way too wrapped up in my job. I haven't been in the forums as much as I should be, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a constant slacker for the forums. They're so awesome, and every time I go in there, I read some awesome stuff, but I definitely have to get in there more often.
There's tons to learn.
Yeah, big time.
Network issues. I was doing this IT job one day a week for a long time. I had a full-time job working out at a government job, and then I'd work here one day a week. And I kept getting these phone calls, network slow, and this, that, and the other. And I'd remote. Actually, what I would do is I would tether my phone, and from there I'd remote to the through a VPN, and then I'd remote to the corporate network, and then check things out. From my end, it looked fine. And anybody wants to know why you should root your phone, because you can root your phone, run through a VPN, and play Halo. That's awesome.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's kind of our corporate IT break time. We play Halo in the tournament 2004.
No, get 2004.
Well, it's super hacked, so it works good.
Nice.
But yeah, you root your phone, you can do a lot more cool stuff with it.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Okay, network issues. They kept calling me all the time. And our IT manager, he's, a deep Windows guy. He's getting more into the open source and Linux, just talking about it now. But
Right. Everything
he does is VBScript. I mean, there is VBScript for everything on our network. Login, I mean, it's everywhere, and I don't know any of it.
He writes it?
Oh, yeah. He does a pretty good job, too. He does, I mean... We have a ticket tracking system. It looks kind of basic to look at it, but it's real functional, works good, and he did it all in VB. So
good for him.
Well, that and Access. So it does the job. Anyhow, he has some VB scripts for Wireshark. Basically, you run the Wireshark, you take the capture file, you run one script against it, it breaks it down to a text file.
What does Wireshark do?
Wireshark, say for here on our network, I'll put a hub in. And I'll put that hub between the main switches and the firewall. That way it captures everything that goes through there. Because, if you use a switch, it's not going to capture all the traffic. But if you use a hub, it kind of goes through and you can grab pretty much everything. So I'll put that on there. And then the Wireshark will capture all the packets going through. And then, say, for example, if I was to do a Google Talk chat through the Google site, you have a little window that pops up for your Google Talk chat.
Yeah.
You'll pick up some stuff and you might be able to catch the packets with the passwords, but you're probably not going to get it because it's encrypted with HTTPS. Then if I'm running Pigeon, that's what I always use for my IRC and everything else. When you're capturing the traffic, you can grab every single thing that's typed. Every time, say, Dorder Geek just says cool in the IRC. If I was running Wireshark right now, I could have in that one packet, it would say his name and down in a different part of the packet, you kind of have to keep opening them up in a tree format, but you'll see what he said. Because the IRC is not a secure protocol. So depending on what you're doing, you can capture different things. And then now we have a managed switch, which I don't have set up properly, but I will. But with the Wireshark, I can capture what's going on, trace it back to the host, to the IP, and basically just find out who's hogging up all of our bandwidth and resources.
Really? That's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't even know a tenth of what you can all do with it. I mean,
really?
Guys like Info Lookup, he's always in there. That guy, he could tell you a lot more about it.
Huh.
But I ran that for a while. I ran the Nmap on there to try and find any open ports. Everything looked fine.
So the network's just running slow.
It was horrible.
Okay.
I mean, you'd try and download maybe a one meg PDF.
Yeah.
Or even half that size, it would take you 15, 20 minutes. Really? If it didn't time out. That was bad. So anyhow, we went through and I told my manager, I says, hey, I'm trying all this stuff. Oh, and it's VBScript. Also, what it does is it breaks it to a text file. It'll cram it into an Access database. And the next script will actually sort per who's using the most bandwidth or using the most network traffic.
Damn, this guy's a script master, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good. For VB scripting, he does a real good job. But I used all that, and it's still, I mean, I had four or five different people on there that were at the top of the usage, and it just didn't make any sense. So anyhow, we went back old school on it, went back to the patch panel. He started a continuous ping on his end. I started one on my end, and he was basically just pinging the router, and I was just, I think I was doing the same thing.
Okay.
And we're watching to see, okay, what plug do I pull when finally traffic picks up? And you can't just go plug it in and off and put it back in.
Right.
You know, it's unplug one, wait, sit there, watch the pings, plug it back in. It was like over an hour of doing that. And, you know, we're lazy. We didn't want to do it that way. So it took us a while to finally decide to do that. But after over an hour of doing that, I finally found the guy. You know, I first took this job. I tried to be a little bit polite. Now I'm just like, you know what? Get out of the way. You know, the computer's mine now.
So, would you kick him out of his desk? Off of his desk?
I did. Yeah, I said, you need to go away now. So I made him leave, took over his computer, and I went through everything. There's nothing unusual on the running. It was all basic, you know, web browsing, not a problem. There's all only a couple tabs, email, no problem. Finally, I noticed down in the corner there by his clock, his Dropbox. Had there, you know, with your Dropbox, if it's synced, it'll have a little checkbox, something like that, saying it's good to go.
Yes.
If it's syncing, you have a little arrow circle that spins and saying it's syncing. Well, it was saying it was syncing. And so as soon as I saw that, I knew that had to be it. So I closed that out. I disabled it. Of course, I ran out of runs. I took it out of auto run, so it wouldn't even start. I told him, I says, you know, don't run that Dropbox. Leave it off. I didn't make sure that's what the problem was. And sure enough, the next day, everything was fine. Day after that, it was fine. Finally, he comes to me and he says, you know, now that I think about it, I've been using that to back up my stuff so I can get it home, which we have a corporate policy. You don't do that because in any kind of a corporate environment, basically the product that company makes is it's intellectual property. So if you're taking that data.
Putting it in the cloud.
Yeah.
And take in the cloud and home.
Exactly. So, you know, we had a little talk about that. I uninstalled Dropbox from his machine. But what he had done is, you know, you have a 2 gig limit. Well, he went from nothing in his Dropbox to 2 gigs in one drop. He just grabbed it all and just dumped it into there. And so what Dropbox will do, it'll let you use your machine okay, but it just kills everybody else's bandwidth.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he never saw a problem. Everybody else is freaking out because they couldn't even do anything. And he's in there. What's the problem? It's fine for me.
How many computers? The Dropbox took out this many computers?
Yeah, it did. It was 30 some computers.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Well, the whole office runs through, you know, we've got a couple different DSL lines at the time, but one's for a web server. So it's dedicated.
Right.
Everybody else goes through one, so it took everybody out.
Damn, that sucks. Yeah. This guy well, got, see, then, did this guy get reprimanded?
Well, I kept it between me and our whatever he is, former office manager, right. Northwest manager. So I didn't want to get him in trouble. I just says, hey, you need to let everybody know. You know, it's not my job to go tell everybody what they can or can't do. It's
right.
You know, all the chain of command crap. So I says, you need to tell everybody, you know, no more Dropbox. And that's where I left it. He didn't get in trouble.
Okay, good.
But yeah, that was kind of interesting. I had no idea that Dropbox would kill a whole office like that.
Me neither. Surprising.
Let's see. Yeah, one great thing about the way our network is now, we've got Quest, which I friggin' hate Quest. They're useless. And you call them for customer support and did you restart it? Don't talk to me that way. I mean, that's just stupid. Yeah, thanks, Dor. You think I'm a nice tech. But, all right. Let's move on to the little next one I have here. It's on a little bit of data recovery.
Okay.
That same office manager, Northwest manager, I forget what his title was. He decided he was going to take another job, another company. And I thought that everything went well. I thought they were getting along just fine. Well, apparently something happened and he got pissed off and wiped his whole hard drive.
Really?
Yeah. Well, of all the people, you don't want to lose their data. It's him because he's got all the contacts. He does all the marketing as far as getting jobs. He does all that stuff. So all the work basically funnels through this one guy, and then it divvies out to other people. So the fact that he did that, it was not good.
No. Did he say it was an accident, or how did he justify?
No, he said he did it.
Okay.
He was saying that, anything that I do that's, how do you put it? Not just a bunch of BS. I didn't want to, it irritated me. You know, he said nothing on there that was very important.
Right.
So the thing about it is this guy has no computer sense. He can hardly even run Outlook. I mean, I was always helping this guy, which is very, very simple things. So I know the fact that he deleted all that stuff and it wasn't in his, you know, recycle bin. Somebody helped him. He never once emptied his recycle bin. You do a backup on his computer and it's always full.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously somebody helped him with it. So I'm thinking, all right, you know, all the obvious things are going to be gone. I'll just skip past all the obvious things. We keep this one program on our server. It's called Restoration. And there'll be a link in there for that. It's, the older one that we have, you can actually recover one file at a time. The latest version, I don't think it's been updated in a couple of years, but it doesn't really need to. You run it on Windows 7, XP, and it all works just fine. The weird thing about his is I ran it on there, and the only thing it would pick up was temp files and thumbnails from, like, you know, when you get on Twitter or something like that, you have little thumbnails that end up downloading your internet directory.
Right.
That's all it would pick up. So I'm thinking he must have ran something pretty good against this thing. I tried a whole bunch of different tools on there. Nothing was finding it short of, you know, my next step was going to be to boot to a Linux disk and then PhotoRec or something like that to try and recover more.
Okay.
Before I did that, I just started surfing through all the files. And then finally, it just dawned on me, just do exactly what you guys were talking about, PodNotes Pro. You know, right click on you can't do the My Documents because that's a library directory, but in Documents. So on Windows 7, you have your libraries.
You're right.
You can't do it there because that's a directory that grabs other ones. You have to go to your documents.
He was running 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually do it on your My Documents or public documents if they have anything in there for that, but he didn't. So I went to My Documents, right click, properties, and then you got your very simple previous versions. I don't know why. I mean, stupidity. I should have just done that very beginning.
Right.
And I love the fact that you guys talked about the PodNotes Pro. I found it was really interesting because on January 2nd, you could see where his directory had changed. And there's entries in there. Every time it changes, it puts a little entry in there. And so you could see on that January 2nd that it changed every few minutes. And it's because he was deleting files. So I went through and I went off on it because I was pissed. I started copying out as My Documents in his desktop. It's only two places he put anything. And I've got multiple copies of it just so I can prove, if he says I'm a liar, that he was deleting things out of there because you could see the size decreasing out of it. So I went through and I copied all that out of there. And there was a long job that could have been very short just by doing that simple, you know, properties, previous versions. So
was there anything in there that was you guys needed?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was contracts for jobs we were getting ready to work on. There was contracts for teaming agreements. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. Stuff for jobs in other states. I mean, there's a lot.
Damn. That's awesome. So was he all pissed off?
Oh no. He tried denying it, and I just told him, I'm looking at it, man. Because he called me, well, here's the ironic thing is, in the middle of me rolling out this new domain, it was kind of like, basically, it should have been like a 2-3 month job that we had to cram into a few weeks. I mean, I was busting my butt.
Right.
And so in the middle of all this, he brings me his laptop and says, Hey, can you fix this for me? Well, yeah, sure, but I'll get to it when I got time. Well, it was a DB9000.
Oh, man.
I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be the video. He says, no, video works fine. It's the power. All right. And I said, just throw it in a corner. I left it there. Well, I finally start getting time and he quits and pulls this crap. So I'm thinking, screw you, buddy. I ain't touching this machine.
Right.
So he's calling me, talking to me about his laptop, asking if it's done. And finally, I just says, you know what, man? That's a real dick move. You're sitting there deleting all that data. I have to get it back. That's my job. You basically made my job harder. I have to go through there and find that now. Oh, no. I only delete the stuff that they already have. And we talked back and forth, and basically, it was pretty cut and dry. I told him, oh, don't worry about it. I got it all. And he got real quiet. He didn't really like being proved wrong that he, screwed up. But, on
Yeah.
his laptop, I replaced the power jack on there, and it was one of those ones. I
Why
think
did
you guys.
what? Why did you fix it?
Hang on, hang on, hang
Okay,
on.
okay. All right.
Well, the reason why I did it is him and his wife are getting a divorce. It's got all of their tax information on there. It's one of those jobs they would have spent $500 just to get the data off this machine. I didn't have time to sit there and dick around with it. So I told him, I says, give me this power jack. And luckily for me, it was one of the ones that it's got the cord. You just unplug,
Yeah.
no soldering. But in the inside of there, it's all rubberized in there. So I was kind of surprised it was busted, but you could push the power cord clear into it till it bottomed out on the other side. So that was all messed up. Repaired it. Well, him and his wife are having a divorce, and then they're calling me back and forth, and she's saying, don't give it to him. She's saying, don't give it to her. And she starts crying on the phone, saying, I don't want to get you caught in the middle of this. And finally, I just told him, I says, listen, here's how it's going to go. You guys are getting a divorce. Obviously, there's legal issues with your property. I'm keeping the laptop. Until you guys get it figured out, I ain't giving it to anybody.
Wait, who owned it?
Well,
Who's the owner of the laptop that you're keeping?
he helped pay for it, but in a divorce, she got it.
So you had it wasn't yours at all.
No.
Why are you keeping that, man?
Because.
I would be so out of that situation. First of all, this guy dicked you over for deleting all his files. Now you're trying to fix his laptop. Man.
Well,
Man, what are you, a saint?
I felt bad for her.
Okay.
Knowing this guy, he's not like an abuser or anything. He's just kind of Dora says I gotta quit saying dick, so I'll quit saying that. Sorry, but he's kind of a jerk, loud kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I could see, I felt bad for her, but the way I looked at it is if I give it to her. Then he has saying, well, you gave property of mine to her, and then there's a legal issue if I give it to him, vice versa. That's why I just said, I'm keeping it till you guys get it figured out.
Okay. You're a nice guy because I wouldn't have put any thought into that. I would have just left it in the corner, probably. But go ahead.
Well, I figured once I pulled it apart, all I had to do was pull out a power jack with a cord. I mean, that was easy. Only other part was. Is that somebody's leaving there? The power cord is broken too, so I just cut off the jacket of that, soldered it back together, so I could at least test it.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that, DV9000 was not going to work graphics. No, it didn't work. They lied to me. Surprise there. But I ain't fixing that for them.
Good.
Basically, I charged them $120
oh,
to.
you're pay they're paying you. Okay.
Oh, come on, man! I'm not that
Dude,
nice.
I didn't know. I didn't
Oh.
know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all
I'm
right.
definitely charging them.
Okay, good.
But I pulled it apart. I pulled the cord, unscrewed the power jack, screwed another one back in, plugged it in, put it back together. I mean, that was an easy job. $120. Can't beat
Nice,
it.
nice. That's good.
And I didn't boot into their operating system. I didn't do any cleanup on it. I told them. I said, I ain't doing any of that stuff. I got some pictures of this thing. It looked like somebody took it and bounced down the stairs because the corners of the casing around the screen and the motherboard completely hammered and gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm gonna put those pictures on my Postero spot, my little spot there, and I'll throw a link in there after a while. It was hammered.
What's your Postgres blog?
It's just Posteros.com. I think it's just /knuckleheadtech. Everything is
Okay.
knucklehead tech.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I wasn't doing that one for free. Hell no.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Let's see. And then, let's see, how are we doing on time?
We're about 50 minutes in.
Okay. Nice little tip for, well, a lot of guys probably know this, but I've not heard many anybody talk about it. But if you're at an office setting or even at home, instead of always having a remote in your machines, almost everybody runs Windows at work. So turn on the file and print sharing. What that does is if you have an actual domain set up, nobody but you has access to a lot of the stuff. So the way ours is set up, the normal user, they're locked down. I mean, they can't do anything but what we map them to.
Okay.
So I turn the file and print sharing. So I just type in, in the address of your Explorer, just do the whack whack for the, obviously going to indicate a network path, and then type in their computer name. So like whatever computer name, we always name them by the Dell service tag. That way we can obviously have that right on hand.
Right.
Say one is, whack whack 1961JJ1 and then /C$. And that takes me automatically to their C drive. So from there, like one guy had a PDF document he couldn't print. I'm in the middle of doing a bunch of other stuff. I didn't want to have to get up and, go over there and talk to him, because you talk to him and it takes forever because everybody wants to explain things that you don't want to hear. So I just, while he's doing his thing, he had no idea I was doing it. Grabbed that PDF off his C drive, printed it off, worked fine. For example, this lady had this music on her computer. She says, you want me to check this out? I'll transfer it out. Don't worry about it. I'll grab it some other time. I just did the file and print sharing, went over there, grabbed it, threw it on my computer, and now I've got her music. I can listen to it. So
that's pretty cool. So you turn on file sharing.
Yep.
And then you just access their C drive.
Yep. $.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Now I had another one here about Windows XP, but that's take too long to explain.
Okay.
And one thing we mentioned on a different podcast is DDWRT.
Yeah. Do you use that? That's for hacking routers, right?
Yeah. I haven't used Tomato. I'm going to try that next. But the DDWRT, it's fantastic.
What are you using on a Linksys 54G?
Yeah, that's what I have it on right now at home.
That's like the best box to use it on, right?
It is. I mean, I wouldn't say that's what it's made for, but that's what they've done the most testing on. And that's what I have mine on, because it's actually when the WAN port is busted on it, so then you can't actually bring a connection into it. So with this one, I made it into a client bridge, and instead of having to go buy Ethernet, make the cables, I just put it at my desk at home, and I did the client bridge to go back to my router. You just got to mimic all the same settings. The gateway has to be your other router. And in my desktop, I plug it into the DDWRT router, and it sees it as a wired connection. And I know how you are about wireless stuff, but okay. And on that desktop, that's actually where I have my Samba share. So my wife, I leave the Windows on her computer because she has to have her Netflix. And that's, other than Netflix, that's like my main hurdle to having all Linux home. So I leave that on there for her. So I set Samba up on this desktop, and I've got 500 gigs of movies on there and TV shows and whatever. And that goes through the DDWRT wirelessly to my other router, which goes to all the other computers. So some guys are saying you shouldn't do it. It's not reliable
Can you use WPA on it?
Well, it goes through whatever your gateway router uses.
Oh, good. So it's just a wireless bridge.
Yep, exactly. That's all it is.
Nice. Good for you, man. I went out and I bought it at Airport Express.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Jeez.
It works great, but it's not free. It's not as cheap as a Linux Blue router.
Oh, man, this one was actually for our lug that we have. We started up at donations, and this was one that somebody dropped off, said it was broken, so I got it for free. DDWRT is free.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat it.
That's awesome. Good for you.
So, another little thing on here is going along with Dor and his Linux games. If you guys see anything about the Humble Indie Bundle, if you guys have seen that much.
Humble
If you guys Indie see Bundle. That come up, and I try to, yeah, there you go. You got the page there. I try to throw that in tweets whenever I see it, but I tend to forget. When it comes around next, it's what it is it's independent games. And you would think that they're all just junk games, but you've heard of World of Goo. Have you heard about that game?
Yeah.
That's one of them. You get that. Basically, Well, it started out as 10 games or 5 games. I think it's 5 games. And that was a Humble Indie Bundle number 1. And that's the on your site right there. I think it's the bottom row is what you see there. That's the Humble Indie Bundle 1. And what it is you basically pay whatever you think it's worth or whatever you can afford, and you get all those games. It's DRM free. It's you can get the installer for Linux, Windows, a Mac, whatever they have installer for. And me, I'm always losing data. I'm terrible on my backups. So the great thing with that is they email you a link that you can use, and that link will always take you back to their download page.
Right.
And even if you lose that, you just have to ask for the download page again, and they send it to you again.
Damn.
Yeah. So I paid $10 on the second, on the Humble Indie Bundle number 2. And, you know, those guys being the guys they are, they says, all right, you bought number 2, so we're going to give you number 1 also. So I got 10 games for $10. And then some of the games, they have separate soundtracks. I got those. They got Windows installers, Linux installers, and Mac installers for anybody that runs Mac. You can't beat it.
Yeah, and the game's awesome.
Pretty good. It is. I like it. What I like to do a lot too is I take those and I'll throw them on my work computers, and you know, you get that point of the day where you're just ready to slam your head against the table and fire up a simple game, play it for a little while.
Right.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's excellent.
That's a good usage of it.
It is. Playing games at work is a necessity. You have to do it.
It keeps you sane.
It does.
I remember playing Heretic at work back in the day when I had a work. I had a work, not had to work.
Oh, well, yeah. That's quite by there, huh? And I guess the last little thing I have on there is just sort of a straight-on tip is Visual Wget. Anybody who runs Linux, you're pretty familiar with Wget. And, I mean, I Wget everything within the command line for Linux. I'm always downloading that. It just seems to go a lot faster, a lot cleaner.
What is it?
Well, Wget, basically you take, for example, I think it's called Orbit Downloader. Does that ring a bell?
Orbit? I thought.
Anyhow, it's a downloader program. You can throw URLs into and download Flash or whatever you want.
Okay.
So you take this Visual Wget is basically a GUI version because Wget is a command line in Linux, command line tool.
Right.
Well, in Windows, you can run a command line, but I mean, you're on Windows. Everything is GUI. Be lazy about it. So you download this and say, I had an issue when I was running, we started this network here because my firewall wasn't set up properly. And I downloaded anything from 20 to 50 gigs, it would time out. It would just stop. It wouldn't even time out. It would just stop. It would just freeze up. But I could use that Wget because what it'll do is it'll just keep trying. It'll keep trying and keep trying. And it won't lose its place. It's not like downloading the browser where you download from the browser and all of a sudden, oh, lost the connection.
right.
Yeah, you're screwed. The Wget, it'll keep grabbing it. It'll keep grabbing it. It gets interrupted. It'll wait and just keep trying it. And it's not to the point where it's hitting your resources and causing, you know, internet slowness. It'll work with it okay. I mean, I really can't go into everything about it because it would take too long, but I can throw, say, a Linux ISO on there. Well, take, for example, the Humble Indie Bundle games. I grabbed like 5 of those, and one of them is like 280-some megabytes. Others are pretty small. I just threw them all in there at one time, and it went through, and it would download them at certain speeds and rates, and it wasn't affecting our internet traffic at all.
Really?
Nobody knew. Yeah. Nobody even knew I was doing it, and I could surf the web. I could do everything, and I could watch at some points where the downloads, they would just freeze up and stop for whatever reason was going on.
Right.
Just pick right back up. No problem.
Sweet. Visual Wget.
Yeah.
That's a great tool, man.
Oh, it's really nice.
I got to check it out. All right. Should we do emails?
Sure.
Okay. This is from Reliant. I'll mention it one more time. This is about the TeamSpeak. I was just in it last night, the PodNuts TeamSpeak room. He says, hey, Steve, if you could mention this in all your shows, it would help get us some traffic. The software client is called TeamSpeak. Fubar Johnny started a server for all of us PodNuts folks. Here's the credentials needed to log on to our voice chat room. Okay, guys, if you don't know, TeamSpeak is it's like a chat client, but with voice. So basically, Fubar Johnny set up a room for PodNuts guys to just go in there and hang out and talk to each other. So It's really cool. I was in there the last couple nights. What you do is you download TeamSpeak. I think it's TeamSpeak.com. It's a small little Skype size download, and then you log in to when it asks you for the server for to make a connection. You just type podnuts.instantts.net, and for the port you type in 4160, hit connect, and then you're in. And then you could just talk to whoever's in the room, ask them questions. We were talking about fixing laptops last night. Fred had somebody spilled water into a netbook or Coke into a netbook, and it was all messed up and making these beep noises, and he was holding it up to his mic and letting us hear the beeps, and we were trying to troubleshoot it. It was really fun. So check it out. Download TeamSpeak. I'll try to put the credentials and stuff in on a prominent page so in case you guys forget. But thank you, Kevin, for that. All right, this is, let's see here. Working on a, this is from, I'm not sure this is from. He says he's working on a Dell Latitude C810. Oh, that sounds old, actually. That has a sound device. It's an ESS Maestro PCI Audio. It will not stay installed. I downloaded the correct drivers with DriverWiz. That installed it. Also did it in Windows myself, then verified it was there. Then when I tried to play a CD or a file, sometimes it would play for a while or sometimes it may not play. Then I would recheck and there will be no audio device. I've done virus and other checks to no avail. Any suggestions would be appreciated. I'd just do a reinstall, man. And if that laptop is the one I'm thinking of, at a C810, aren't they like old, those old black ones? Do you know? Not
yeah.
Them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then do a reinstall, and if that doesn't work, get a new computer.
I agree.
Okay, good. This is from Steve. He says, email for Podnuts Daily. Here's the link to the site, to a site that allows your clients to capture what their problem is in a 5-minute video, and then it will send it to you so you can review the actual problem. It will generate a help URL so friends and family can send you instant screen recordings to help troubleshoot computer issues. And the URL is showmewhatswrong.com. Let me punch it in here, give you guys a look. Never heard of that. Sounds pretty cool. Come on.
The only hard thing about that is you can't hardly get somebody to do a screenshot. So if you can do that, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, good point. Oops. There it is. Showmewhatswrong.com. Help generate a URL so friends and family can send you instant screen recordings to help you. Check it out. Here's a demo of it. Let's see what happens here. It's 2 minutes. Oh, no sound. It's going too slow anyway.
Yeah, if it works, that'd be a great tool.
Yeah, check it out.
Until you get someone to use it.
I agree. Give it a shot. And that's from Steve-O. Thank you, Steve-O. Good link. Paul says, I just wasted more than a few days tracking down a mysterious random shutdown problem on a Toshiba laptop. I scanned for viruses, checked the HDD, the RAM, and even completely disassembled and reassembled with new heatsink paste twice trying to track down this apparent overheating problem. Turns out the lady had been using the power brick from her netbook 30 for netbook. 30 watts is not going to power a 15-inch laptop. I'm kicking myself for not noticing sooner, as I've heard this issue mentioned on your show before. Now, this leads to me to my suggestion for laptop manufacturers. Well, first of all, yeah, you got, I imagine those netbook power supplies are lighter and smaller. So if you're noticing that and you're having a mysterious shutdown issue, that's a good place, good first place to start looking. He says, now this leads him to my suggestion for laptop manufacturers. Standardize your DC jacks. Make all 30-watt jacks the same, 65 watts the same, and so on. But do not make it mechanically possible to plug the wrong power rating into a laptop. This poor lady does not know there are different capacities for different adapters. Her thinking was, same brand must be compatible. Well, who can blame her? It took me, an experienced computer repair tech, almost a week to look down and realize that the brick looked a little too small for that laptop. Screw this, he says, I'm going home. That was from Paul. Paul, man, you shouldn't realize that, man. That's on you. And if you think they're going to standardize laptop jacks,
good
forget
luck.
It, man. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to happen. No way.
Remind me on something. Isn't it the amps you need to worry about over the watts?
Now, the volts? Voltage. I mean, see, for this, it's amps. I mean, if you don't want to fry your computer, don't put too much voltage in. You could, like I said, you could put 100 amps in. Your brick can be capable of 100 amps as long as the voltage is where it needs to be and not higher. You're not going to fry anything. So you could raise the amps all the way to the top. In fact, the more higher your amperage rating is on your brick, the heavier it usually is. So,
okay, so like on one of my laptops, and the BIOS always checks and it says, you know, this power cord won't charge it properly. You know, plug in a different cord. Basically, that needs to be one that you need to get the volts right.
Well, no, yeah, you got to always get the volts right, no matter what. Never put the wrong volts. But what if you put one that's too low of amps? So you could always go higher on amps, but if you go too low of amps, then you're going to have the problem he did.
Okay.
Because watts is actually volts times amps. That's what you get watts. So he's saying he's got a 30-watt power brick when it probably needs to be 60 or 90. Basically, what needed to be raised is the amperage. I'm sure the voltage for both of those power bricks was the same thing because the thing didn't get fried. So their voltage was probably the same, but the amps were too low. Yeah, amps is like current. You need a lot of current to push the computer to work. So, yeah, you don't want to get too low on amps. Good thing to bring up, Josh. All right, Casey says, hey, Podnuts, just wanted to share a trick for scheduling customers for on-site jobs. Steve D. mentioned on Podnuts number 56 that a lot of time he would find a job and would take a lot longer than he anticipated and make him late for his next appointment. Here's what I do to avoid this situation. Anytime a job is going to take more than an hour or two, I tell the customer I need to take their computer back to my office. I'll bring it back tomorrow morning. Then to keep the customer happy, I'll offer them in-shop labor at a slightly lower hourly rate than on-site labor. This way, I never spend half my day watching updates install or scanning for malware. Thanks for all the great shows. Keep up the good work. That's from Casey. Yeah, it is a good tip. I always would, if a job was taking too long, I'd always take it back to my shop or say, I got to take this back to my shop. I wouldn't lower my rate, but my rate was already low enough to begin with. So,
yeah, I can't stand sitting in someone's house doing that.
Oh, yeah, doing virus scan. Yeah, definitely. Especially when you're hungry. You know what I mean?
That's yeah. Exactly.
All right, good.
It's going to get a little bit grumpy then.
Yeah, big time. I lost a lot of weight doing it, though. All right, this is a video from Andrew. Andrew, I'm going to play this video next week because it's long and it's crazy. At first, I hated this video Andrew sent me, and then I watched it, and all right, it's a YouTube video. I'm not going to play it, but it's called Clean the Fan. Have you guys ever seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's called Clean the Fan. I can't play the whole thing. I'll play it next show. It's a kid with his guitar who made a music video about cleaning a laptop fan.
Uh-oh.
And he spent so much. This thing is painstakingly detailed, very high production value for this kid. It basically shows that he's talented, but it's a little cheesy, but then I kind of got into it. I actually got into it. So if you Google Clean the Fan, you'll see this video. At first, you're going to hate it, and then you start getting into the music, and you actually kind of like it. Well, I did anyway. Okay. That's from Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. Dear sirs, I have a T30 with a 256K modules installed. The problem is the computer is only sees 256. I went into the BIOS to check and see if there were some settings that would remedy the problem, but I couldn't find any. I took memory modules out and reseated them without any luck. I took one memory module at a time and tried them in the different slots. Seems that one slot does not work. When either module is in it, the computer won't boot and gives a series of short beeps. I believe four of them. Anyway, there seems to be a problem that's connected to that particular slot. I checked with my magnifying glass to see if I could see any visual damage to slot, but all looks fine. Modules work in the other slot, so I know both modules work. Can you tell from this brief synopsis what the problem is and how to fix it or whether it's worth fixing? That's from Lois. Lois, the problem is your slot is bad. It doesn't have to be that anything burned or fried up in there. It's just something happened, and maybe it's not noticeable, but something's fried somewhere along the motherboard. Definitely not worth fixing for a T30. Not even close to worth fixing.
No.
Steve, maybe send it to Steve D. He might have a soft spot in his heart for a ThinkPad of that age.
He might get excited.
Yeah, he might want to buy it off you and use it for his next podcast. But
yeah, speaking of Steve D.
Yeah,
what's going on with crappycrapcrap.com?
I don't know. You got to take it up with him. Hey, I think I think he started it and it fizzed a little bit. It's not on top of his radar.
And he needs to pick it up. He's slacking.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. Hear that, Steve D? Crap. People want crappy crap crap. This
That's
is
right.
From Liam. I love how William just totally Madonna'd his name. Now William.
It's a man formerly known as William.
Liam Tidwell. I love it, William. Here's a handy guide on how to take a retail disc, get a retail disc to work with an OEM key and vice versa. He gives some links here at liamtech.com. That's liamtech.com/documents/retail-to-OEM PDF. I'll put it in the chat room for those of you who are nice enough to come live here. It is now in the chat room. And let's check it out. Nice little page that Liam set up for us. It's something that we get a lot of questions on, so that's a really great tip. Thank you, Liam. And let me see what time it is here. We're going to have to end off. If any, you guys did send me a voicemail, I'm going to play it on next show, so don't worry about that. And I have a email from Tony. Tony, I'm going to read that on next show. All right. Well, Knuckle, a.k.a. Josh, or Josh, a.k.a. Knuckle. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Totally appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We made it go right.
Yeah.
I applaud you.
Yeah.
So anything
you want? I'm going to have a better night. What's that?
No, what were you going to say?
I'll try and get a better headset. I think I've abused this one a little too much.
Yeah, maybe that might be it. But it still came through okay. I wouldn't worry about it. Any last comments? And then tell us if anything you want to plug or where people could find you if they want to talk to you.
Don't bother going to any of my websites right now. I've been... Website-wise, I work on everybody else's before mine, so none of mine are even up, done. Go to betterpctech.com, check out Lalo's videos. I've got some money now from a computer repair job, so I'll be buying that soon.
Awesome.
I'm really excited to get that one.
Dude, he's happy to hear it. He's actually sitting right over here. He's plugging your videos, Lalo. Oh,
thank you. Yeah.
He said thank you.
You're welcome.
I agree. Betterpctech.com, check it out. Enjoy.
Oh, I got one thing I wanted to bring up. I forgot about Podnuts Wiki.
Yes.
Chris Weeble started that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I, like an idiot, I kept thinking I'd help him work on that and I forget. But we all need to help him out.
I even forget the URL. It's TiddlyWiki, right?
Yeah, it is. And the thing of it, it's one of those ones you can download your thumb drives, you can take with you. So anybody has any time or you want to make some time, contact Chris. He'll hook you up. He'll help you get in. In there and help out. Let's get that Podnuts Wiki going again, because there's nothing better than having something like that. You can just quickly go to, jump to, search, find what you want. And awesome resource.
It is. There's already a lot of stuff in it. If if you guys want to check it out, it's podnuts.tiddlyspot.com, because he's using TiddlyWiki. So podnuts.tiddlyspot.com, T-I-D-D-L-Y spot.com. Sounds warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Well, thanks again, Josh. I totally appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Come back on again.
Will do.
All right, and everybody else who's watching, listening, streaming, hang tight. We're going to do Podnuts Pro in about 10, 15 minutes. And we will see you next time.
See you.